John Batchelor. The U.S. federal government and all of its agencies and administrations, and this is not one thing. This is parts moving from different backgrounds, different genesis. And the one that most engaged me once upon a time was the Merchant Marine Academy, which is in Castine, Maine. I visited it once, and I wondered, how does this fit into the world? Well, Francis Rose of FedGov Today is here because he's interviewed the administrator of the U.S. Maritime Administration, which has, as it's part of the Department of Transportation, has as one of its duties, responsibilities, the Merchant Marine Academy in Castine, Maine, a beautiful town on the coast of Maine, and graduating young people, men and women, who are charged with maintaining the maritime fleet. Francis, this is an education. Rear Admiral Ann Phillips, United States Navy, retired as the administrator. What did you learn from her that was fresh to you, Francis, because she is a very commanding figure?
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. Well, what I learned from her is that she is very committed to the people pipeline that is flowing not just through the Merchant Marine Academy, but flowing through the entire maritime organization in the United States, all of the public and private sector organizations that need mariners. She is thinking hard, thinking constantly about how to improve that, how to get more people in, how to keep the people in that they get, and so on. One of the commitments that she's made, not just because of legislation, although there is that, but because of personal commitment and personal experience, is to the safety of the mariner community. And that involves especially sexual assault and sexual harassment on board ships. It's been a problem ever since women have been introduced into that workforce. And it's something that Administrator Phillips has committed herself to, again, not just for legal reasons, but because she believes it's the right thing to do, John.
Yes, they are recruiting. And so I will redouble what I learned from the Admiral, that these are very good jobs with very good benefits. And there's a dramatic need for them. Licensed mariners and unlicensed jet mariners with job security. You emphasize safety at sea. That's a form of recruiting. Francis, the way the Admiral spoke, what we have here is a vast shortage. Did you get the impression that they want to add thousands of people? I couldn't quite tell what the numbers were, but there's clearly a shortfall.
Yeah, the shortfall is particularly prevalent because of the change in the economy. The change in the economy is causing people to think twice about different types of work. And life at sea is not an easy life. One of the things that she talked about on the show was the fact that they're trying to create a more welcoming environment aboard ship for these mariners and potential mariners to make it more attractive. They recognize there are some things that can't be changed that are just inherent in the job. But if there are things that they can do, like making these people feel safe aboard the ship and creating working environments where there's Wi-Fi and they can stay connected to home and so on, those are things that they want to do. And so she's working in the public sector and with the private sector organizations that are her partners to try to make those conditions as good as they can possibly be aboard those ships. But that's especially why she's committed to safety, not just personal safety from harm in the line of duty, but harm in the just in the overall environment.
Yes, what I learned from your conversation is that there was something called the EMBARC program, E-M-B-A-R-C, that has now become the force of law. And we can presume, the Admiral didn't fill in details, that there was inattention to safety, especially for young women at sea, and the environment was hostile even for the young men who were there because of a lack of discipline by commanders. I'm just guessing because we didn't get anecdotes. I've since then pursued EMBARC, E-M-B-A-R-C, and there's been a lot of law these last years, a lot of tension in the Merchant Marine and the, also in the flag carriers of that the U.S. represents. So clearly we had something that needed attention. Did you get the sense from the Admiral that she was confident that they could clean this up after all these years?
Yeah, her thought to me was that this is will take a long period of time because it's existed for a long period of time, but she believes that they're getting after it. What you're referring to, there have been incidents at the Merchant Marine Academy, the same as there have been at the other academies, of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and those cases are terrible. And the cases at the Merchant Marine Academy were one of the original sources of the embark legislation. But like I said, she's concerned about this issue, not just because the law says she has to be, but because being, as you've referred, she's a retired Navy admiral. So she understands the value of having women in the workforce, in the Merchant Marine workforce. Having women at sea in all different capacities. And obviously, if a woman feels that she's not going to be safe on a ship, that's a lot less likely she's going to be willing to take that job. And so Admiral Phillips's sense, Administrator Phillips's sense that I got from her was that they are making progress. But since it's been a long time problem, it's going to take a long time to clean it up.
I recommend Francis's full interview with Administrator Phillips. It's available at FedGov today. Just one more note from this show, Francis. You spoke to General Robert Brown, President and CEO of the Association of the United States Army. What is going on? Why no appointments? What did you learn from the general? Are they going to clear this up?
Well, what I learned from the general was that, who by the way, was a former commander of U.S. Army Pacific, so he knows of what he speaks. He's particularly troubled about the holds that Senator Tuberville's placed on all nominations for civilian and military promotions in the Department of Defense because of DOD's policies regarding abortion. And I'm not an expert on the policies or the reasons that he's decided to put a hold on them, but he echoed something that General D.T. Thompson talked about, the Vice Chief of Space Operations, on the show a couple of weeks ago, which is the holds are, in their view, placing national security at risk because men and women who are eligible for promotion, who otherwise would very, very likely be promoted to their jobs, are forced to be in basically in holding patterns because they're not able to get confirmed. And one of the examples that General Brown gave was that when an officer, for example, the vice chief of the Army, General George, is the acting chief of staff of the Army, he's not able to form his staff to build the team of people he wants around him. He's not able to make new policy for the uniformed personnel of the Army and so on. He's basically a caretaker until the Senate confirms him. And the longer this goes on, the more people are in place. And there are some examples that we've seen of officers who are eligible to retire who just say, yeah, I'm going to retire, and leaves those billets open. So there's a lot at stake. And what General Brown was arguing was this is a particularly tenuous time with what's going on in Ukraine, with China making noise in the Pacific and so on. And so to have so many people in so many positions who don't have the advice and consent of the Senate behind them, he believes is dangerous.
Francis Rose, FedGov Today. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.